"Don't you want to see what Percy's written?" Harry asked her hastily.
Percy's letter was short and irritable. "As I am constantly telling the Daily Prophet, Mr. Crouch is taking a well-deserved break. He is sending in regular owls with instructions. No, I haven't actually seen him, but I think I can be trusted to know my own superior's handwriting. I have quite enough to do at the moment without trying to quash these ridiculous rumours. Please don't bother me again unless it's something important. Happy Easter." The start of the summer term would normally have meant that Harry was training hard for the last Quidditch match of the season. This year, however, it was the third and final task in the Tri-Wizard tournament for which he needed to prepare, but he still didn't know what he would have to do. Finally, in the last week of May, Professor McGonagall held him back in Transfiguration.
"You are to go down to the Quidditch pitch tonight at 9 o'clock, Potter," she told him. "Mr. Bagman will be there to tell the champions about the third task."
So at 8:30 that night, Harry left Ron and Hermione in Gryffindor Tower and went downstairs. As he crossed the entrance hall, Cedric came up from the Hufflepuff common room. "What do you reckon it's going to be?" he asked Harry as they went together down the stone steps out into the cloudy night.
"Fleur keeps going on about underground tunnels. She reckons we've got to find treasure."
"Well, that wouldn't be too bad," said Harry, thinking that he would simply ask Hagrid for a Niffler to do the job for him. They walked down the dark lawn to the Quidditch Stadium, turned through a gap in the stands, and walked out onto the pitch.
"What have they done to it?" Cedric said indignantly, stopping dead.
The Quidditch pitch was no longer smooth and flat. It looked as though somebody had been building long, low walls all over it, twisting and criss-crossing in every direction.
"The hedges," said Harry, bending to examine the nearest one.
"Hello there," called a cheery voice.
Ludo Bagman was standing in the middle of the pitch with Crumb and Fleur. Harry and Cedric made their way towards them, climbing over the hedges. Fleur beamed at Harry as he came nearer. Her attitude to him had changed completely since he had pulled her sister out of the lake.
"Well, what do you think?" said Bagman happily, as Harry and Cedric climbed over the last hedge. "Growing nicely, aren't they? Give them a month, and Hagrid'll have them 20 foot high. Don't worry," he added, grinning, spotting the less-than-happy expressions on Harry and Cedric's faces. "You'll have your Quidditch pitch back to normal once the task is over. Now, I imagine you can guess what we're making here?"
No one spoke for a moment. Then,
"Maze," grunted Crumb.
"That's right," said Bagman. "A maze. The third task's really very straightforward. The Tri-Wizard Cup will be placed in the centre of the maze. The first champion to touch it will receive full marks."
"We simply have to get through the maze?" said Fleur.
"There will be obstacles," said Bagman happily, bouncing on the balls of his feet. "Hagrid is providing a number of creatures. Then there will be spells that must be broken, all that sort of thing, you know. Now, the champions who are leading on points will get a head start into the maze." Bagman grinned at Harry and Cedric. "Then Mr. Crumb will enter, then Miss Delacour. But you'll all be in with a fighting chance, depending on how well you get past the obstacles. Should be fun, eh?"
Harry, who knew only too well the kind of creatures that Hagrid was likely to provide for an event like this, thought it was unlikely to be any fun at all. However, he nodded politely like the other champions.
"Very well. If you haven't got any questions, we'll go back up to the castle, shall we? It's a bit chilly."
Bagman hurried alongside Harry as they began to wend their way out of the growing maze. Harry had the feeling that Bagman was going to start offering to help him again, but just then Crumb tapped Harry on the shoulder.
"Could I have a word?"
"Yeah, all right," said Harry, slightly surprised.
"Will you walk with me?"
"Okay," said Harry, curiously. Bagman looked slightly perturbed.
"I'll wait for you, Harry, shall I?"
"No, it's okay, Mr. Bagman," said Harry, suppressing a smile. "I think I can find the castle on my own, thanks." Harry and Crumb left the stadium together, but Crumb did not set a course for the Durmstrang ship. Instead, he walked towards the forest.
"What are we going this way for?"
said Harry, as they passed Hagrid's cabin and the illuminated Beaubaton carriage.
"Don't want to be overheard," said Crumb shortly.
When at last they reached a quiet stretch of ground, a short way from the Beaubaton horse's paddock, Crumb stopped in the shade of the trees and turned to face Harry.
"I want to know," he said, glowering, "what there is between you and Hermione."
Harry, who from Crumb's secretive manner had expected something much more serious than this, stared up at Crumb in amazement.
"Nothing," he said,
but Crumb glowered at him, and Harry, somehow struck anew by how tall Crumb was, elaborated.
"We're friends. She's not my girlfriend, and she never has been. It's just that Skeeter woman making things up."
"Hermione talks about you very often," said Crumb, looking suspiciously at Harry.
"Yeah," said Harry, "because we're friends."
He couldn't quite believe he was having this conversation with Victor Crumb, the famous international Quidditch player. It was as though the 18-year-old Crumb thought he, Harry, was an equal, a real rival.
You have not...
"No,"
said Harry, very firmly. Crumb looked slightly happier. He stared at Harry for a few seconds, then said,
"You fly very well. I was watching at the first task."
"Thanks," said Harry, grinning broadly, and suddenly feeling much taller himself.
"I saw you at the Quidditch World Cup. The Vronsky feint. You really..."
But something moved behind Crumb in the trees, and Harry, who had some experience of the sort of thing that lurked in the forest, instinctively grabbed Crumb's arm and pulled him around.
"What is it?"
Harry shook his head, staring at the place where he'd seen movement. He slipped his hand inside his robes, reaching for his wand.